Welcome to A Couple Cooks, a show celebrating the joy of home cooking. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex.
And we're a husband and wife who love to cook.
Join us each week for stories, seasonal recipes, and inspiration for cooking at home and eating well.
For more, you can find us on our blog, acouplecooks.com. Welcome back to another episode of the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Thanks for tuning in.
Alex and I started this podcast to inspire you to get in the kitchen. So we hope we're achieving our goal. Let us know if you have a chance. We're on Instagram at A Couple Cooks, and our website is acouplecooks.com.
Speaking of couples cooking, that's our theme for this episode. We're talking about cooking together as a couple with your significant other, or maybe not cooking together.
That's right. We brought in some fantastic guests. We have Lindsay and Bjork Ostrom of the food blog Pinch of Yum.
They are phenomenal.
And they share some interesting insights on what it's like to be a couple who doesn't cook together.
And why that might be great too.
We also talk about our own relationship cooking together and a recipe for a cooking date.
Stay tuned.
So in this episode, we wanted to do a little bit more of a deep dive into what it means to cook together as a couple. But we know not all other couples cook together.
In fact, that's kind of a frequent question on our blog. How do you get your husband to cook or eat my vegetarian meal, or I'm just trying to feed a family and I don't have any help?
So Alex, what do you feel like draws you to cooking? It's interesting because usually cooking, maybe even 50 years ago, was thought of as the woman's job. What makes you interested in cooking?
Well, I think it kind of bases from the side of me that's always just been a creative. I have loved art my whole life. I think even as far back as being a second grader for Christmas, all I wanted was art supplies. And cooking was a spot once I started finding out about what it was like to make a meal, to put together different ingredients and have this blank canvas of a plate and build something onto it. I think I just really fell in love with the idea of cooking as an art form. And now that I think about it, I think I also really love building things and DIY stuff. So it's kind of a perfect place to combine building, crafting, and creativeness all in one spot.
Yeah, I have been a creative since day one, I guess. But I didn't always know that food could be a place for creativity. I remember I started the piano when I was 7, and I immediately started composing music and I got very into it. And I remember my mother calling me to dinner and saying, hey, it's time to set the table, it's time to eat. And to me, that was a completely uncreative space. I was like, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm composing a song right now. This is not the time to have just kind of a utilitarian meal. And I think that was my mindset for the longest time.
I mean, I think all the way into college when you were at the peak of your music career that you kind of just completely ignored food. You used it purely as sustenance to get by.
I've said many times that I kind of subsisted on Hot Pockets and breakfast cereal. And yeah, I didn't want to put any energy into that because I was putting all of my creative energy into something else. But I also didn't know that food could be a place for creativity.
And I think what's fun for us is that we kind of discovered pretty close to the same time that we both loved the idea of building something on a plate. And I think what's cool and unique about our story is that we both were able to take those creative passions and create a hobby of cooking together as a couple after we got married. That's something that's special for us. I feel like a lot of couples seek that common hobby. Maybe it's running marathons together or gardening. And for us, it just became cooking. And it's been a really fun place to explore life together, not as an individual.
And I think we both really love people, which is one of the reasons that we love food, not just as an artistic outlet, but as a way to connect to people. So I think that could be one reason I was frustrated with my music career. I felt like I was just not connecting to people. I was spending a lot of time alone practicing my craft. And instead with food, we're able to do it together. We're able to do it with other people.
At the very least, we're cooking for each other.
it's just been a really awesome way to have a creative hobby and spend time together and be nourished.
So we found this hobby in cooking that we love to do together. It was something that was new after we got together, after we got married, for each of us, which was special, I think, that we found something together that we were passionate about. At the same time, our artistic backgrounds are very different. I was very freeform and creating just for the sake of creating, and you were brought up in a classical, trained, very rigid structure of a artistic platform. So I feel like you approach cooking very differently than I do.
Right. I wanted to try to find the right answer or the best way to do something. And sometimes that paralyzed me because I wasn't quite sure what the right way was. I wasn't ready to get my hands dirty and just try it. And that's where your creative all-in approach helped me.
Or maybe I was just kind of impatient, and instead of allowing you to learn the right way to do it, I would just burn it 3 times while you would read the cookbook.
So it made us a very good team. And I think that's what's fun about cooking together, is that it really does strengthen your marriage. As we talked about in our mailbag episode, last episode, it's done wonders for helping us to figure out what it means to be a team.
I agree. And I think one thing I always say is that if you want to get good at anything, you have to practice. And the beautiful thing about food is that you have to eat every single day. And so you just get to practice a lot. And if you put some energy and some fun into that practicing, you can get really good at it. You can get really passionate about it and have a lot of fun.
So one thing that we like to do together is to have a cooking date.
Hold on there.
Yes.
So how do you define a cooking date different than, we don't have any kids yet, so how is a cooking date different than just us running home after work and making dinner together?
Well, I think a cooking date is a little more intentional. I think we pour some wine, which incidentally, we have some wine right now. Put on some music. We have a recipe in mind that we've prepared for. We focus a little bit more on spending time together than just getting food on the table. So if you have kids, you might need to send them off to a babysitter, or maybe just put them to bed. Pick out a recipe. Maybe make it something a little more special than you'd have on the typical weeknight. Get some tunes on. Alex, do you have any good tunes to recommend?
Well, I tend to cheat and I use the pre-selected stations from Spotify or Google Music to just pick a station that has, you know, maybe some soulful, jazzy tunes going on, something with a beat.
And I think they have little categories like romantic evening in or something like that.
Exactly.
I think for us, it's good to remember that it's spending time together. It's not trying to make something perfect.
And it's also the process that counts. It's not all about that first bite or the last bite on your plate. It's about cooking it together.
So we have an idea for a cooking date for you. It's a little bit non-traditional. It's not the normal pasta or steak or whatever. It is called paella. I've mentioned it on this podcast before.
Can you spell paella for us?
I can. It's P-A-E-L-L-A.
Ding.
It sounds fancy, but it's actually just a traditional Spanish rice dish. Sometimes it has vegetables. Most times it has vegetables. Sometimes it has seafood. Sometimes it has meat.
A little rabbit if you got some around.
Absolutely. And it's a celebratory food. So I studied abroad in Spain in college, and on Sundays or for special days, we would have paella, and it just gives me some great memories of that time. It sounds fancy, but it's actually fairly simple.
That's probably my favorite thing about paella, is that it feels like a special occasion every time you make it, but it's really not that complicated. It's just a one pot kind of dump and wait dish.
And we've created a new paella for you. It's a shrimp and artichoke paella. Basically, you saute up some shrimp, and then you take those out of your pan, and you start the rice going. You start with onion, tomato, and some spices. It's called a sofrito in Spanish. And you saute that up, and then you put in everything, the rice, the spices, the veggies, cook out all the broth, and then put kind of arrange those shrimp on top, some peas just for a little bit of green color. And let me tell you, it looks fantastic. It has a couple of fun spices in it. One of them is smoked paprika, so it has a very smoky, earthy flavor. Another, you can either use saffron, or we use turmeric in this case. So saffron is the world's most expensive spice, for those of you who don't know. It's actually the stamens of crocus flowers that are picked by hand. So you can imagine how labor intensive that would be. So that's why it's so expensive. So we usually substitute turmeric, which is a little more budget friendly, but it also adds some nice color to the rice, gives a nice yellow color.
Now the recipe also has smoked paprika, which is a very different spice than your standard red paprika that you would use on deviled eggs or something like that. It has this wonderful smoky flavor, and you absolutely need to find it and use that in this recipe because it really makes the dish.
And if you're not into shrimp, you can leave those out.
We've tried it both ways and enjoyed it both.
You'll see the recipe on our website is made in a special pan. It's called a paella pan. It's kind of a very short skillet, but it just has handles on the sides. And that's a traditional pan you would cook it in. You don't have to have a paella pan for this recipe. You can just use a skillet. But we used our pan because it's just fun. And when else do we get to use it?
Exactly. If you have a paella pan, this is the time. So we'll post a link to the recipe in our show notes. It's on the blog, acouplecooks.com.
All right, let's get to our guests. We're excited to bring you Lindsay and Bjork Ostrom from the blog Pinch of Yum. They do not cook together, so they're going to share with us some of their experiences, having one person interested in cooking and one person interested in eating.
Which isn't always a bad thing.
So we hope you'll find that inspirational. Here they are.
Lindsay and Bjork Ostrom, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
we're so excited to be here.
You guys.
Woo, party.
So this episode, we're talking about cooking as a couple. We cook together a lot, but we know that for many couples, that's not their reality. Usually one person or the other is a little bit more excited about food. So we wanted to have a couple on who may not cook together, and we thought of you.
So we should be honored or honored or
yeah,
something.
Right. No, that's good. That's
good. It's true.
We are the perfect couple to have on for a couple that
doesn't cook together.
yet still loves food.
Yeah, for sure. I used to say that my role with Lindsay's blog was CTO. And people be like, oh, you're the technology guy. And it's like, well, I'm also the chief tasting officer, which is one of the best positions in all of food blogdom. So but I'm not a cooker, so cooker. Or a chef.
This shows how much he's not a cook that he says, I am not a cooker. No. I'm not a cooker or a chef.
You didn't give me a chance to make up for it.
Okay. So let's talk about before you got married. How did you meet and what were your eating styles like at the time?
So I feel like when I was in college was kind of around the time that I really started to like fall in love with cooking, but fall in love with cooking makes it sound maybe a little more romantic than it actually was. Like it was more like me living in a house with a bunch of, you know, roommates, college friends, and just like really having fun, like trying different things out. I remember one of the most exciting times for me, like as I was in that phase of learning to cook and like cooking for myself and my roommates, was when I got a food processor for the first time. And I got it from a garage sale, and it was in the free box. It was so gross. And I said to the lady, like, hey, does this, you know, work? And she's like, I don't know. You can just take it. And so I took it home and washed it out like a million times. And then I was so excited because I could actually like make some of these recipes that were in these magazines. And, you know, that's just like one example of something that I did, that I was trying out something new. But college, I feel like, was really the time for me, like when I started to really love to cook.
And how about you, Bjork?
Yeah, so we actually met in high school. So I feel like the whole college experience could be like wrapped up in this, like, how did we eat in college, essentially?
Yeah, but we were eating together, like we didn't live together.
Right.
So.
And that's what I mean. Like, it's a good analysis of like, what did it look like when we were single? Because we got married like a year or two after college.
After college, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so for me, very similar. No, it's not actually similar at all.
You were buying garage sale food processors?
Yeah, right. Shape magazine. My college eating consisted of everything in one like skillet meals.
Like
so
a full
like,
skillet meal.
So like it would be like you put it in and then it's like you cook it up for like 15 minutes.
And
then
it's like a sauce packet and stuff. Yeah. And like put the sauce on it.
So I would
I was stuff like, all about those in college too.
For sure. So that would be like my nice meal.
Yeah. Fancy.
I'm trying to think what else. And then it, I don't know. It was all that like super easy, convenient food stuff, which to be honest, I'd probably still be eating if it wasn't for you today. Maybe not. Maybe I would up my game a little bit, but that's kind of what it looked like for me in college.
So what changed when you got married?
Well, I feel
Lindsay
like...
Lindsay started cooking for me. I think that's...
I always kind of credit like the start of our marriage as, again, when I fell in love with cooking. I can't believe I was saying that twice. It's such a cheesy phrase for me, but...
Yeah. When I became a cook
phase two.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, but like... If I was already kind of interested in it when I was in college and like I would cook for myself, now is even more fun when we got married because like we were living together. So on a really regular basis, like I would cook meals for the two of us. So it wasn't just me cooking for myself, but it was like someone to actually share the food with and someone who could also appreciate it with me as opposed to me just kind of doing my own thing. So.
And there's something nice about that period where like, for us, it was the first time of like official, like we go off, we work, we come home, and then it's like we have dinner together. And there's something that was kind of fun for me because I didn't really have to do much work with it. But like just having a time where it's a set time to come back home and have dinner together each and every day and like check in and say like, how was your day? And that was something that we had never had before.
Bjork, do you feel like there's anything that you didn't like eating? Was there anything you struggled with or were you always happy to eat whatever she made?
I feel like I'm... And Lindsay can fact check me on this. Maybe I'm off. I feel like I'm a pretty flexible.
Oh, for sure.
There's some weird spices that I don't really like rosemary. I feel like that.
Yeah,
or
Bjork
I don't
this
know
weird
if that...
thing about rosemary, which is kind of a bummer.
Do you guys like rosemary?
Everybody likes rosemary except you.
Yeah, I love rosemary.
What? It's so fun, but in small quantities. I agree, it can be overpowering.
Yeah. If somebody's listening to this and they don't like rosemary, if they could email me or tweet it. So I don't feel as alone because I've never met somebody else that also doesn't like rosemary.
Hashtag I hate rosemary.
Yeah, I'm sure there's hundreds of us out there. For the most part, I feel like I'm really flexible. That being said, it's not like I bend towards, I would call it sophisticated food. I feel like my bend is towards like a Juicy Lucy. Like that's the ultimate Bjork meal. Is that a Midwest thing or a Minnesota thing?
It's a Minnesota thing.
It's a Minnesota thing.
It's a hamburger. It's like a cheeseburger with the cheese inside. Like if I were to say, okay, I have a night out and I'm going to go by myself somewhere, where would I go for food? I would say, probably Matt's Bar. Like it's this bar that has really good Juicy Lucy's and like cheap fries. Yeah. So I feel especially.
The unique thing about Bjork is that he doesn't really like to cook and isn't really... like interested in food in the same way I am or like most food lovers are, but he really does like to eat good food. Like, I don't know that there have really been very many times that I've made things that you haven't wanted to eat, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that.
He's a supportive eater.
He is. Yeah.
And I feel like there's some times where you're like you'd call it flexitarian, like vegetable based dishes for the most part. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'd love maybe a meat.
A Juicy Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Juicy Lucy.
On
but,
the side.
But even then, it's like vegetables are good.
Yeah.
A lot of couples we talk to, that seems to be a similar dynamic of the wife loves to cook vegetables and the husband is always wanting some meat.
Just trying to sneak sausage in there. So do you have any advice for us, Bjork, on how you approach a dish that you wish had more meat?
Gratitude, I guess, is my like I'm just so thankful to have good food that otherwise I wouldn't have access to. I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything, so I don't know if I have any advice in way of like one thing I always do whenever there's a vegetable dish is imagine that the carrots are sausages. And it makes it much easier to eat.
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, you can try that. Actually, now that I say that, that probably is the best advice I could give. Which...
What's the last meal that you made for Lindsay? I'd like to know.
Oh,
do we even want it?
It's okay. We can talk about it. It's almost this thing where it's like, it's everyone is a story of like how it's failed. Because, and the other thing is, like, Lindsay's so well-versed in she's a, I'll say this, she's a really good cooker. But part of it is, like, I'm just, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I feel like the usual, you can say, like, if you remember one, the usual thing is, like, Linz, I want you to have a night. This is, I'm going to make some great dishes for you. You just relax. And then she has to, like, watch me attempt to make these things. But there's, like, it was, like, instructions laid out. All the ingredients were there. I didn't have to, like, sort anything. And then it turned into this, like, stressful situation of, like, me being really slow and doing things generally wrong. And then Lindsay just having to, like, kind of watch. And then eventually it just kind of transitioned into Lindsay making it, me asking her,
well,
like
I
need help.
We kind of split it, like, just for the sake of time. I said, like, I'll make the sauce. But, like, in the meantime, I'm watching Bjork make the spinach mixture. The pan is super hot from the bacon, from frying the bacon, and then he adds the garlic right in, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no, like, don't burn the garlic, it's gonna taste so bad, but trying not to say anything, and, you know, trying not to make him feel bad, and or just trying to rein in my controlling ways, you know, and not be so bossy about everything, just like, it's okay, but it definitely doesn't go super smooth.
I think the meal before that, the first one that I made was like I was doing a fondue dinner.
It was for Valentine's Day last year, actually.
So you can tell how often I cook. Like I tried to pick up and move this thing that had essentially been like burning for a half an hour. And so I had to, this is these metal like imprints on my fingers, which kind of squashed the romance.
Super romantic.
So you get rewarded when you stay out of the kitchen and you get
for the most
traumatized
part.
When you jump in.
Yeah, exactly. That's subtly, that's what my brain is starting to associate with whenever I attempt to make a meal.
But it's a great lesson. And that was kind of what I was going to ask you next is, it sounds like one way to be supportive as a spouse who doesn't love cooking is just to let your other spouse work their strengths.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like that's true for me, but just not with cooking necessarily. So like there are other things that you do, you know, that I could probably do, but like you're better at them and you already like doing them. And so just to let you, like organizing the cords.
Like installing updates on the computer.
Or brings you pure joy.
Yeah.
Doing the dishes. You're really good at that, Bjork.
I think a lot of people want to be able to cook together with their significant other, and I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Alex and I love it, but there are other hobbies that, you know, sometimes you have to do separately, like salsa dancing. I really wanted Alex to salsa dance with me, and he just refused, and I had to come to terms with the fact that I was just going to be on my own
you
for that
salsa
one.
Salsa alone.
But he's supportive of me. He says, go out and have a good time
go
on a Saturday night.
I'll make salsa, but I won't with you. And I think the other thing with it is like, I think there are ways to do things that somebody enjoys together. Like, I think one of the things that you enjoy most is like, if I'm just talking to you as we, like, as you cook.
Yeah, like that's my, it's almost like, because of how clunky it can be when we do try to cook together, I would almost, you know, in both of us would probably enjoy just as much if I'm making a meal and Bjork's, you know, sitting on the other side of the peninsula, you know, just talking with me while I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they'll kind of be this flow of like, I'm getting dinner ready and, you know, doing the thinking about it from all the way from the grocery store to whatever, coming home and putting it together. And then the flow kind of shifts where I'm on the other side of the peninsula sitting and talking to you while you're doing the dishes.
Right.
So one final question. Are you guys going to stay in and cook or go out for Valentine's Day?
I'm a terrible planner when it comes to that stuff. But this year I have a plan and it's actually kind of a surprise. You don't know yet.
I was going to say, I don't know the answer to that question.
So, but we're going out. Yep. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. I learned my lesson last year with
the fondue.
Scorching my hand on the fondue. we have reservations at a couple different places.
Really? You
know, yeah.
Wow. So fancy.
Yeah. Right. Well, one is a reservation. The other one is just a place that we're going to go. I can tell you this. This is going to be kind of a reveal. Okay. So then people know.
This is like.
One is a restaurant.
High pressure. This is like a public reveal.
This is a public reveal. One is a restaurant. And then the other is a speakeasy. How about that?
Speakeasy.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what that is. Like,
you guys know speakeasy.
We do.
Right?
We have speakeasy.
Is it like people like do like poetry or something? Or like,
no. This is. I know a food thing more than Lindsay.
It comes from the 20s, right?
Yeah, yeah, during Prohibition.
Ties back to the Prohibition.
Why
right?
is it called a speakeasy?
Well, it's like you kind of. I don't know. This is what I imagine in my head. Like, I imagine coming up to somebody and being like. The raccoon is in the closet. Like it's and then they like open a little hatch down below when nobody's looking and then you go down and get an illegal beer.
Wow. Okay.
But I don't know if that's actually true. Is that why
you this would be so much better than fondue?
Yeah, right, exactly.
That'd so they could though be reading poetry in the bar.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if it was a speakeasy poetry bar,
yeah,
which would be
focused.
Yeah, kind of a beatnik thing, that'd be ultra, ultra hip.
Well, I think it's a time to wrap it up here.
Before we get too far off track.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We've had so much fun.
Yeah.
And we hope you have an awesome Valentine's Day at the speakeasy.
Yeah, thanks. Aww. Hopefully those that are able to listen to this get some great cooking
super
tips from me.
Inspiring.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, guys.
There's nothing I love more than chatting with another couple.
And being a native Minnesotan, I think you really identify with that long O.
Oh, yes, I do. So what do we learn from this examination of couples who cook together and couples who don't cook together?
Well, I think like many things in life, there's not a wrong answer. Maybe for some of us, it's pushing ourselves outside of that comfort zone. If your wife is always making dinner, maybe you should get into the kitchen and challenge yourself to make a great meal for her and your family this week. On the other hand, if you know your strengths and more importantly, know your weaknesses, and cooking often ends with a trip to the ER, maybe it's time to just... recognize that and allow the strengths to just be what they should be in a relationship.
So it's all about balance and figuring out what's right for you as a couple. All right, well, that's all we have for today. You know where to find us, acouplecooks.com, where we have all of our recipes and other inspiration. We're also on Instagram at acouplecooks.
Or Twitter.
At acouplecooks.
Or Facebook.
At acouplecooks. So right when we finished recording, we looked over and we saw a cookbook laying there, which is pretty normal in our house, but it was the cookbook Date Night In, which is written by a friend of ours, Ashley Rodriguez.
And she wrote this book not as categories of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but as date night meals.
Each recipe is included in a menu for cooking with your significant other. So we thought that was actually a great tie-in with the theme of this episode. So we will put a link to this cookbook in our show notes.